Greetings to you, my sisters and brothers, my family in Christ, saints and sinners, children of God. Now, I'm coming to you here this Sunday after having spent 4 days in Minneapolis at what's known as the Mission Redevelopers Training, or Mission Developers Redevelopers Training. They put it all together. And so I'm a bit jet-lagged because Minneapolis is 2 hours ahead of us. Right? But you know what? It meant that I got to bed a little bit earlier last night, and I was able to get up and drive out here with no problem this morning in time for service. I'm all the way from Oakland, so that's an hour and a half. So it wasn't much of a problem for me this morning. Now, if you're not familiar with what the ELCA calls a mission redeveloper, I'll tell you a little bit about that, but let me give you a little bit insight. Now, I'm not sure how many of us don't know this one little fact that the church attendance for mainline churches over the last couple decades, when I say mainline churches, I mean Lutheran churches, Episcopal churches, Catholic churches, have dropped. Did you know that? Yeah. Church attendance has dropped over the last couple decades. And at the same time, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, has been reevaluating what its mission is. Now, one of the jokes that I've been hearing over the last few years, particularly in seminary, is, "Welcome to the ELCA, where the E is silent." Now, it might come as a surprise to many people that the E in the ELCA stands for evangelical. Because by our understanding of the word, by many of our understanding of the word, Lutherans are the furthest thing from evangelical that we can think of. But the very simple fact is that the church that Martin Luther and his contemporaries had set up was always intended to be known as an evangelical church. And the fact that we continue to include the E in our name, as have our predecessor church bodies, as have many Lutheran church bodies around the world, it's not an accident of history. But evangelism is not something that Lutherans, or many mainline Christians for that matter, is very comfortable talking about, much less doing. And I think our culture at large has been redefining the word evangelical as some different kind of style of Christianity, considerably different piety than that which we Lutherans are used to. And they tend to forget, and we tend to forget, the root meaning of the word evangelical as that of messengers of the good news. That's evangelical, messengers of the good news. No matter what the context that we're in. And in fact, it's the calling of all of us who are Christians to do that, to be messengers of the gospel. Now, don't let that scare you. Because there's many ways to proclaim it. But another confusion in society has been that in order to proclaim the good news in an evangelical manner means to go door to door with brochures and asking people to convert right then and there. And if they haven't done that, then it's not a success at all. Or standing on a street corner on a soapbox and yelling at people that if they don't repent now, they'll suffer eternal damnation. But evangelism, at least the way I understand it, and the way our church body as a whole tries to understand it, does not have anything to do with yelling at people and telling them that they are going to suffer eternal torment unless they ask Jesus to forgive them right there, lest, oh, some kind of act of God takes place, like a meteor hitting the earth. Because, you know, if God were to play those kind of tricks on us, that wouldn't be very good news, would it, my brothers and sisters? And so part of bringing the good news to the world at large is to do the work that Christ calls us to do, which involves the heart of the gospel, the great commandment, because which is to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength and all our soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so the evangelist, the one who does evangelism, does that while letting the world know That the reason that they do it is because of what they've been promised. We are not doing that love for each other because we're looking for points in heaven. We're doing that because God has given us grace. And this is the way we show that with each other. It's our natural inclination. It doesn't take any effort at all because of the grace that God gives us. And so, my sisters and brothers, when we talk about mission development and redevelopment, we're not only talking about church starts and saving churches that have been going into decline, although that is indeed a part of it. But the biggest part of it is what we're talking about is bringing the good news of Christ come here to those that are desperate for the message. Because there are so many people out there who are struggling, who are hungry for the grace that God has promised us and don't know about it. There are people who have been unfairly impacted because of the way what has been defined as Christianity in our world has been impacting them. Maybe because of their sexuality or their gender identity. Maybe people have been marginalized because of pathological behavior or even their political beliefs. Now, for such people, what they have come to know as the church has come to be known as a place that has just lost touch with reality at all. Or as a place that's just been known to be against everything. Anti-gay, anti-birth control, anti-sex, anti-people. And for those people, if the church is against everything, how can it even be for them at all? And while it might not be the message that those of us, most of us who are Christians, want to be out there in the world, when the loudest voices are the ones who give that reputation for the Church of Jesus Christ, it becomes even a more difficult place for us to engage in true evangelism. And so, before I talk about today's gospel, I want to go back to this first passage, the one from Isaiah. Because I love Isaiah. This is my favorite book of the prophets. Really got to know a lot of it while I was in seminary. As familiar as some of us are with this text, because there's a great song that comes from this text from Isaiah, a somewhat well-known hymn for all of those who are weary, come to the waters. The text of Isaiah was written at a time when the children of Israel were at the end of a Babylonian exile and were preparing to re-enter this land of milk and honey called Israel. The whole chapter of Isaiah, chapter 55, talks about reconciliation. It talks about welcoming people back from a wilderness. And it can also be brought forward to those who have found themselves exiled from Christian community, marginalized by a style of Christian behavior that's become well known, that is neither encouraging of welcoming to my disciples nor of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But all the way back in Isaiah, way back there in the Old Testament, the words come to the water is in fact good news. You that have no money, come to the feast. Is an invitation for the poor in spirit, the fallen, the unloved. And by all means, this banquet is laid out for all of them and all of us. And so even back, as far back as the Babylonian exile, many centuries before Jesus Christ, in the prophet Isaiah, we are looking forward and discovering that God is a God of grace who provides sustenance for all his beloved children and invites them to feast. And Isaiah goes on, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and for your labor for that which does not satisfy? Go out into the world, engage in the activities to which God is calling us. Now, while we can put up a sign that says this church is a welcoming church, we can make it more inviting by actually going out and inviting people here and changing ourselves at the same time. Because when people are in our midst, they change us and we change them. God has commanded us over and over in all throughout our sacred text to provide for the hungry and see to the well-being of the stranger, because we are strangers ourselves at times in our lives as well. This is the feast that will satisfy us, this engagement of the work in the community to better people's lives. The Lord our God has provided us with good food and a warm place to share with our fellow humankind. It is our call to avail others of that place that we have been given, even if by some chance they're not going to come back to church. It doesn't matter. As we saw in our gospel, even Jesus wanted to retreat into a place of solitude. But the crowds found him and healed, and he healed and felt the hunger of the crowd. And the disciples, as they're used to, living in a place of scarcity, that they look to their limited resources of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and said, "There's nothing we can do for these people. Send them away to find food." But here is the miracle of miracles. Somehow, when they began to pass the loaves and the fish around among the crowds, but there were fish and loaves left over, 12 baskets full. And so the resources that the disciples took with them were multiplied over and over again. And the needs of the crowds were not only met, the entire group was satisfied. Their hunger sated. The good news was shared. And my fellow Christians, my sisters and brothers, this is such a wonderful gift that we've been given. The Lord has entrusted us to bear this great feast and to share it with not only among ourselves, but also to those around us, whether or not they eventually sit in our pews. And even as we find the grace our Lord, that grace that our Lord gives us here at worship on Sunday mornings, and while we pray during the week, we find the grace of the Lord in the hearts of those whom he wishes to send us to, out into the world to enrich and grow. My sisters and brothers, God loves you. God loves us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us from death and the grave and made a place for us beside him in heaven. He has and is the light of the world, and he has given us that light to reflect on the world around us. We are not only called to shine that light on others, showing the way to the Lord through his great commandment that he has given us, but in doing so, in being the witness that the Lord comes near, by bearing out God's love, we also glorify his name and we magnify him here on earth. And this, my sisters and brothers, is the good news of God come near. The God who makes a home for us in the kingdom of heaven and invites us, all of us, to his glorious feast that he has laid out for us here on earth. Amen.